going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
John Fogerty will be on stage later today at 5:30 at Jazz Fest 2025. It opened up today, and John Fogerty from Creedence Clearwater Revival will be there. I want to tell you how much of an icon John Fogerty is. You might not know this, but there were a lot of bands that were holding off on signing up to do Woodstock. They weren't sure about whether or not it was the right thing to do. And many of the bands, these top bands, were waiting to see what John Fogerty and Creedence Clearwater Revival would do. If Creedence Clearwater Revival signed on to do Woodstock, then all these other bands would too. And apparently that's what happened. And he is still an icon today. And again, you still got time to get there. Maybe you're heading in that direction right now. He'll be on the festival stage. Yeah, be on the festival stage at 5:30 today. I posted on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page and Instagram is the topic of free speech, and it's titled The Serious Threat to Freedom of Speech in America. Now, as I mentioned yesterday, we talked about this on the show yesterday, if you're just hanging around talking to your friends or people at work and, you know, you've got freedom of speech and, you know, you can bash the president, you can praise the president, you can do whatever you want. You can say pretty much what you want about politics and about the president. Or about the past president, you know, you could have bashed Biden. Maybe you're still bashing Biden like Trump is doing. You can do all of that. And you might not think that freedom of speech is really threatened. But trust me, it is. And that's why I wrote a blog that is posted. It's still on WWL.com, but it's also on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page and Instagram. And you can read it and comment on it. Also, with that is a conversation I had yesterday with a law professor at Tulane University, Professor Stephen Griffin. And it was a really great, interesting conversation about freedom of speech and why I think, and from my perspective in the media, why I think and fear that freedom of speech is really being threatened. And you might not feel it on your level, but freedom of speech is being threatened. And I've talked about that on the Facebook page. Hey, let me mention the WWL Jazz Fest code word of the day. The code word of the day is gentilly. Gentilly. It's where it is. It's also the name of one of the stages, Gentilly. So what you need to do right now, and you will need this word. You can use a lot of other words, but it's not going to work. Unless you use the word Gentilly, you're not going to be eligible. So use the word Gentilly right now. Go to our website, wwl.com/contest with an S, and use the word Gentilly to enter to win tickets to next weekend's Jazz Fest. Lenny Kravitz will be there, Pearl Jam, Luke Combs, Cage the Elephant, Santana, Patti LaBelle, Trombone Shorty, and many others. It's from Miller Lite, the official beer of Jazz Fest and WWL. All right, before we get back to your calls, let's go to Ian Hoke with some of your text messages.
Got a bunch of texts about Derek Carr I've been parked on for a little while. Some of these are kind of conspiratorial.
Really? Something's going on. Derek Carr, to me, has never been the answer. He's had a few nice moments on the field with the Saints, but he ain't our answer to the future. And I think he had such a relationship with Dennis Allen that as long as Dennis Allen was around, Derek Carr was going to be around. And I don't like that. I didn't like it at the time, and I thought Derek Carr felt like he was guaranteed a position because of Dennis Allen. Dennis Allen out. I think Derek Carr should be out. And now he's got this shoulder injury that Mickey Loomis doesn't even seem to know that much about. And while we have a history of a quarterback with a shoulder injury that we took in and did really well, Drew Brees, I just don't think Derek Carr gives a damn about New Orleans. I don't see him here. I don't hear about him being here. And I don't think he cares about the city. I heard that he took his family after the season and went to California, and that's where he is. So I don't think he cares about the city, and I don't think he cares about being here. And I don't care if he doesn't care, because I don't think he's the right quarterback for us.
Text says, the shoulder injury is a lie. Derek Carr doesn't want to be a bridge quarterback. He doesn't want to play for the Saints, and he's holding out to force them to cut him. He wanted to be traded. The Saints said no and paid him more money than most people have ever seen in their lives, expecting him to be a professional. And now he's trying to force his way out because nobody's going to make him do something he doesn't want to do.
Well, I don't know how much more money he's going to make. I mean, the Saints are paying him well. I don't think he's that great. So how much more money is he going to make? I'm suspicious about this whole thing, too.
We had mentioned, you got to be in the market for a running quarterback if you want to be successful in this league, right?
I think, yeah.
Here's a text that says, the 2024 NFL season saw more run plays on average than the last 5 years. The Philadelphia Eagles had 51% run plays, and they won a Super Bowl. It is not a pass league. It is a copycat league.
Well, they also had what? A running quarterback. So some of those runs were from the quarterback. And I don't think you go back. I mean, there was a time when the NFL was a running league. Then it became a passing league. And I think the NFL has evolved into a league that is geared for and made for, because of the evolution of the league and the game, I think the evolution of the game leads to having a running quarterback, and the Saints have not had a running quarterback. I mean, somebody called earlier and said Aaron Brooks was. I wasn't here during those years, so I didn't have as close a relationship with paying attention to the team as I did then. I talked about Archie Manning was a kind of a running quarterback. I mean, that guy could run. Spencer Rattler can run the ball. And I think he deserves a great shot at being a starting quarterback. But I think the Saints need to look for a running quarterback. And when you practice against a running quarterback, you do better with your defense in going up against running quarterbacks. And if I'm not mistaken, statistics show the Saints have not done that well in general against running quarterbacks.
Couple more here. This texter agrees with you. Says Derek Carr was AWOL during the Super Bowl, and New Orleans was instead represented by Drew Brees, Sean Payton, and Jameis Winston.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't care about the city and doesn't show any signs of caring about the city. And I have asked if there's anybody that knows any information about Derek Carr actually showing that he cares about the city that I'm not privileged to, then let me know, and we really haven't heard anything.
It seemed innocent enough at the time, but now in retrospect, maybe it matters that his first meal here was Chipotle. Just, you know.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah.
Also had a couple texts here about Elon Musk, who we spoke about, and how we haven't kind of really seen him with President Trump lately or haven't seen him at the White House. He seems like he's on his way out. Here's a text that says, Musk wanted to destroy the evidence against him. He did that, and now he's gone. It's pretty simple.
Well, I think, you know, personally, I think Musk wanted more than that. I think he wanted more of the spotlight. But it was a dream if he thought Donald Trump was going to give that up. I know he gave a lot of money to Donald Trump to help him get elected. And I think that's probably a factor. He may have gone in and was able to do some things to help him out legally. But I still think Elon Musk loved the spotlight. You know, rich people sometimes want more than money. They want fame. They want publicity. They want to be celebrities. And it's not enough just to have money. They want to be celebrities. But money doesn't always buy you status, that kind of status. But sometimes it does. And in this case, Elon Musk was, I think, going for the spotlight.
And I'll leave you with this one. This text says, I saw a Cybertruck uptown that said Toyota across the back.
That's funny.
This is a thing they're doing now. They've got little workshops. I don't know if they're doing them here in New Orleans, but I hear about them in other cities around. They call it a de-badging, where it's like a community group. You know, it's like a car wash or something where someone will...
Okay.
They'll go set up at an intersection with like a heat gun and some like goo gone or something like that, and de-brand your Tesla.
But is it done with the consent of the Tesla?
Oh, yeah, of course. Oh, okay, yeah, this is Tesla and Cybertruck drivers who don't want anything to do with Elon Musk,
okay,
but like the car, and don't want the, you know, so they're insulating themselves from the political blowback by removing all the branding from their cars.
That's
and hoping
funny.
that, you know, then some idiot won't carve a swastika in it or whatever.
Yeah, and I was reading, I think yesterday I mentioned it, that Tesla's stock was down 71%. I mean, the Cybertruck looks like a tank, and that's exactly what's been happening to their numbers.
Shit.
They have been tanking. Yeah, but, you know, look, if somebody owns a Cybertruck or a Tesla, you know, leave that alone. You know, they're you know, don't take it out on them. If you don't like Elon Musk, that's cool, but don't take it out on them. And nobody should be attacking the dealerships or attacking the cars or anything like that. All right, if you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. And if you're on hold, hang on. I'll come back with more of your comments. And we'll talk a little bit more about maybe the Saints draft. And the draft begins today at 4 o'clock. That's when our coverage begins. All right, this is Kacey Musgrave, and she's going to be at Jazz Fest tomorrow on the festival stage at 5:30. I'm Scoot on the air. Yeah, Festival 2025 is underway right now, and we'll be back.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
On WWE. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, it was on this day in 2003 during the Gulf War that the Dixie Chicks launched a publicity campaign to explain their real position after the controversial statement made by Natalie Maines regarding the Iraq War. You might remember what she said. She was at a concert in London, so she was on foreign soil, and she said, quote, just so you know, we're on the good side with y'all. We do not want this war, this violence, and we're ashamed that the President of the United States is from Texas. And she was referring to George W. Bush. Well, they were called traitors, Saddam's angels, the Dixie sluts. They were bashed for saying what they said. Even if she thought that, she shouldn't have said it. And she shouldn't have said it on foreign soil. I don't think that was the right time to bring that up. And I honestly believe that, you know, when it comes to something like that, you know, you just let it go. I mean, the fans are there to hear you perform, not hear you make political statements. So while they're free to do that, I thought that was a mistake. But this is the day that they started their publicity campaign. Let me give you some comments from the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. The topic is freedom of speech and the attack on freedom of speech. And here's an interesting series. This starts off with Cheryl saying, we were censored during the Biden administration, or did you forget that? Then Susan responds to Cheryl, so what are you saying? It's okay to attack freedom of speech. Then Tim comes in and makes a comment to Susan. She's saying the liberals are hypocrites when it comes to this issue. And then Bob chimes in and says to Cheryl, So you were personally censored when Biden was president. Then Donald says to Bob, yes, the Biden administration pressured social media platforms to restrict speech, which contradicted their message and prevented differing opinions. And then Bob says to Donald, a social media platform can censor who they want, but the government can't. So that's an interesting exchange there. You can still comment there, and you can, you know, read the blog and also listen to the conversation with a law professor from Tulane, Professor Stephen Griffin, about freedom of speech, because it is under attack in America. And in the business that I'm in, I pay attention to this, and I think it's really, really scary what's happening. And so I'm bringing this up. I've brought it up before, but I'm going to continue to bring this up because it is an issue. Now, when it comes to the Biden administration, Ian, you can confirm or back me up on this or tell me what was not true. It seems like they did, the Biden administration did not want false information out that was coming from many Republicans and many conservative posters. There was false information, and they wanted to stop the fake news. So, yeah, stopping fake news doesn't mean that it's censorship. It means it's cleaning up what is true and what is not true. And then also, if I'm not mistaken, during the Biden administration, they may have pleaded with these social media platforms to censor some conservative speech, but I don't know how much they really censored.
Yeah, we may never know that, because the social media giants, I think, felt, they regretted that they didn't push back harder. But we don't really know how much they pushed back at all, or how much they actually, how much, you know, content from their networks they actually ended up blocking or downranking or whatever. But
I think
the distinction here that it is important is that the Biden administration did not go to Facebook and Meta and Twitter and everybody and say, we want you to delete content that says, like, maybe we should have a stronger army or fewer taxes or welfare reform or just like generic conservative viewpoints. It was very specifically COVID-19 disinformation about ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, these other sort of like fake cures that people were, you know, thinking would prevent them from getting COVID or help them if they got it. And it didn't work out that way. And some of those people died. It was COVID-19 misinformation, and it was an election denialism specifically that they wanted, you know, muted or removed from those sites. I'm not sure.
Now, those sites are private companies. They can censor what they want to censor. An administration like the Biden administration can say, we don't want you to do this. We want you to cut back on this. I mean, is that censorship? Well, Fox News censors the news every day. Conservative radio talk show hosts censor the news every day. They don't tell you a lot of things, and some of the things that they tell you are not true. But a private company or a business like Fox News, they have every right to censor the news and give you what they think you want. And so the Biden administration, and again, the problem is that there are right-wing radical conservatives who are caught up in this conservative echo chamber, and they believe what they're told. In this case, they were misled, they were brainwashed, and it's continuing today. There's really no strong evidence that the Biden administration really did put the screws to the social media platforms when it comes to opinions. Now, when it comes to misinformation, and election denial is misinformation, it is a fact. It is a fact in our society that the election was not stolen. You can believe otherwise, but you're going against a fact. And we accept a fact as the truth. And when you put things together from the court cases and everything that went on, it is a fact. For example, you can believe that OJ was guilty, but it is a fact that he was found not guilty. You can believe what you want, but that's a fact. And so the courts determine what is a fact to some degree. So there's a lot of misinformation about the Biden administration censoring people. And I don't think anybody listening to this show was not able to post what they wanted to post, unless it was an outright lie. And you should not be able to post outright lies. Those things should be censored from social media in the same way that lies are supposed to be censored from the mainstream media and from the cable news channels as well.
I would offer, I think that it's more important to focus on what I would consider the need to suppress dangerous speech. You know, COVID-19 misinformation is dangerous. That could get people killed. And election denialism is dangerous. That is a dangerous thing to be spreading on your platform, because it reduces trust in our electoral system. And the end consequence of that is that we lose the whole thing. If nobody believes that we have free, fair, secure elections in this country, and you don't believe in the result and you're not willing to accept it when you lose, you're only willing to accept elections that you win, we're cooked. Country's cooked.
Right. And what's different with what Donald Trump is trying to do is he is seeking revenge against people who are posting stories, airing stories that are negative toward him. It's an opinion. And we can't have a president going after news outlets, trying to threaten them with the revoking of their license because they're saying something that the president doesn't agree with. You know, Donald Trump with this suit against 60 Minutes, I mean, not 60 Minutes, the suit against, I think it was 60 Minutes, but it was CBS. It was about the airing of an edited interview with Kamala Harris. Donald Trump's interviews on Fox News were edited. They were edited to make Donald Trump look good, because there were times that Fox News, you could read stories about, there were times that Fox News wanted to keep Donald Trump from looking like a buffoon when he was just going off on a rant. And so they didn't include that in the interview. They edited it to make him look good. And so if CBS did the same thing, well, what's the difference? There's no difference. And nobody can really say factually that they couldn't say or post what they wanted to post, as long as it was an opinion, during the Biden administration. But again, there are a few people, and they're small in number, these right-wing radicals, and they're getting even smaller in number, which I think is a good thing. They are still up in arms. Well, yeah, we were censored during the Biden administration. Well, no, you weren't. You think you might have been, but you weren't. And you might not have been, and so you're speaking for everybody else, but nobody else can really prove that they were censored. I mean, who was really actually censored that you could prove you were censored? So again, it was about misinformation. And misinformation does not belong in social media. Misinformation does not belong in the news anywhere. All right, if you want to join us with a comment, the Oakenhart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. So what do you think about this story? Pete Hegseth says it's totally false, but CBS News has information that Pete Hegseth spent $40,000 to redo a room at the Pentagon to turn it into a makeup room for him. Now, remember, he was one of the pretty boy talking heads on Fox News before he became defense secretary. So was it right for him to turn a room into a makeup room? I don't know. I mean, maybe. But I mean, at least he says it's fake news. But CBS is standing by their story. They've got information that they even cut back on it because they wanted to spend more. But they cut back on it and limited it to $40,000. Apparently, it was a green room at the Pentagon, and it was turned into a makeup room for Pete Hegseth. I wonder if they had like a wine cooler. I wonder if they had an area for bottles. I don't know. Anyway, you know, I don't know whether it's true or not. I would believe CBS over Pete Hegseth for a number of different reasons, but, you know, we choose who we believe in. Also, there's a new poll out that shows that Donald Trump is down under 50% with all demographics down to 45% with Hispanics. So a lot of people are coming to new realizations about President Trump. All right, there's a conversation about Jelly Roll, the country artist. I love this guy. I love him. I love him. I love this song. The song is called Liar. Jelly Roll was in prison in Tennessee, and there's a lot of talk going on about giving him a pardon because of all the good things that he's done, because of all that he's done to try to help people who don't end up going to prison. He's really done a lot of community work. He's done a lot of concerts in prisons. And he does, I mean, he's got tattoos on his face, and he's a big guy, and he looks very menacing. But he really has a very interesting insight into life, and he has done a lot to try to send out a positive message. Is that worthy of a pardon? Well, that's a conversation going on, and we'll follow that story. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 2007, Sheryl Crow said that a ban on using too much toilet paper should be introduced to help the environment. Sheryl Crow basically commenting what we saw in that episode of Seinfeld, one square. That's all you get, one square, or maybe two if it's, you know, number two. Man, I don't know. There are days that you just can't get by with one square. There are days you can't get by with two squares. I mean, there are days, depending on what you ate, there are days that it, you know, takes a little bit. She made these she's made these comments on a website after touring the United States, on a biodiesel-powered bus to raise awareness of climate change. And she was convinced that we need to get down to one square when it comes to using the restroom. One square of toilet paper. I don't think so. Let's go to Kane. Kane, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, when y'all were talking about NAFTA when I first turned on the radio, people got to understand, even if Trump can force American foreign countries to pay the same rate of $20 an hour to their employees, the 800-pound gorilla in the room is our overpriced medical industry that really don't cure anybody. I mean, when a company has to pay for a family of four and it's costing them $6,000 to $8,000 additional dollars a month, time 100,000 employees, that's worth going overseas for.
Yeah.
And until people realize that, that's the one of the huge problems with the American healthcare, with doing business in this country, is being forced to provide healthcare for all your employees. Yeah. And in foreign countries, they got socialized medicine. Nobody pays for nothing. Yeah.
No, it's a factor, Kane. You're right. It's a factor. There, you know, there are a lot of things, not just one thing, that drove jobs overseas. And the bottom line is American greed. The bottom line, and one thing that Kane points out, is that it's about the expense of providing for employees, and the unions, American unions, played a role in that.
The unions are another big expense that, like I said, it just doesn't exist over there.
Yeah.
And another thing people got to understand, they might want Americans to go to work, and I do too, but are they willing to pay an extra $500 a TV for that to happen? Think they're going to get all
No, I don't think so. And that's why it's partly the fault of the American people. You want the best product at the lowest possible price, and are you going to pay $500 more for a television made in America over a TV that was made somewhere else? And Americans have answered that question. And the answer is no. They're not going to pay that much more for a TV. They're not going to pay $200 more for a TV. They're going to get the best TV they can find at the lowest price, even if it's not made in America. As much as maybe we should buy American products, no matter what, we don't. From Avondale, John, you're on WWL.
Taking my call. You were talking about is free speech under attack a bit ago, and I was curious about when you thought the attack began.
Well, I was critical of President Obama years ago when he tried to pressure Fox News, and he even made suggestions about Fox News cutting back on the bias. I also remember there was a time when Richard Nixon was very, very heavy-handed when it came to trying to control the message of the networks. One of the sketchy things about all of this is the Federal Communication Commission, the FCC, regulates the media, but it does not control content. And some people believe that maybe it has the power to control content, but it doesn't. And that was part of the conversation I had with the professor, Professor Griffin from Tulane, that is posted on our website and also on my social media pages.
You know, I think the idea of kind of putting pressure on free speech has always been looked at as a political issue. But it seems maybe 5, 6, 7, I don't remember exactly when, it seemed like more public conversations took place with just average citizens about what we could say or what we could.
See, I don't know what citizens can't say when it comes to political opinions. I think citizens can pretty much say whatever they want.
I'm not talking about necessarily politics. People didn't like what you said.
Oh, yeah.
When did the term cancel culture come up? I don't remember exactly.
A few years ago. I mean, that's a good point. In other words, there was pressure on you, or they would put pressure. People would put pressure on a company for saying something that they disagreed with. I think that's a form of attacking free speech.
I agree, but here's the thing: here's the funny thing about it. They have the right to say that they don't like what we're saying. And so if we try to shut them down for saying we don't like that, then we're attacking free speech. It's kind of it's a double-edged sword. And you just have to be a big boy or a big girl and go, okay, fine, and go about your business.
What I find extremely disturbing right now, John, is the course that President Trump is taking. And he has already indicated that he doesn't want to listen to the courts. I hope he does. But if he doesn't listen to the courts, if he doesn't follow the rule of law, and he starts to threaten opinion content that he doesn't agree with, when it comes to trying to control the media, I mean, this is the definition of a dictatorship. And we're so blessed in America that we have media that is not controlled or owned by the government. It's different from other countries where the government, and especially in a dictatorship, they own the media. So they control the message. That's not the case here in America. And so when a president gets close to talking about, you know, owning the media, starts talking about suppressing opinions that he disagrees with, that gets really personal for me. All right, on the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar on this day in 1961, it was just 2 weeks after he appeared on Dick Clark's American Bandstand, Del Shannon had the number one hit in America on the Billboard chart. It was this song called Runaway. And he finally was able, because of the success of this song, Del Shannon was finally able to quit his job as a carpet salesman. So I guess when this song took off, he was laying a lot more than carpet. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL.